From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, why is the Chinese government stepping up its persecution of religious minorities? A report by the New York Times says Chinese authorities are using their vast system of facial recognition cameras to track the movement of Uyghur Muslims throughout the country. Now, more than a million Uyghurs are reportedly being detained in re-education camps in Xinjiang province. What's driving the intensifying crackdown on Uyghurs and other religious minorities? Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback, joins me in just a moment. And in other foreign news, President Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the eternal undivided capital of Israel and now recognizing the sovereignty, their sovereignty, over the Golan Heights. What more can be done to strengthen the ties between our two countries? Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who served on the House Intelligence Committee, joins me for that conversation. And back here at home, Dean of Yale Law School, Heather Gerken, is publicly defending the school's decision to discriminate against Christian law organizations in the wake of Texas Senator Ted Cruz launching an investigation into the law school's practices. Senator Cruz is here to explain. I'll also ask him about his Education Act, which champions school choice. And speaking of Texas and religious liberty, we'll get an update from the Lone Star State on their efforts to end government discrimination against people of faith. Jonathan Sines, president of Texas Values, joins me with that update. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. And my plan is to go to the phones a little bit later, so stand by. Before I jump into my first interview, I just want to, again, invite those of you that might be interested to join my wife and I this summer on a cruise to Alaska, July the 7th through the 14th. I'll be joined by several of our FRC team, like Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, General Jerry Boykin, former Secretary of State of Ohio, Ken Blackwell. We'll have a great time together, and you'll get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., plus a great opportunity to get away and just see how beautiful Alaska really is. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, according to the New York Times, we learned that China is now using facial recognition cameras, and they've got these things all over the country, but they're now using them to monitor Uyghur Muslims across the country. Now, it's all a part of China's renewed crackdown that began really in November of last year on religious minorities under Xi Jinping, the president of China. My next guest will explore this story in greater depth and why this is of concern, or why it should be of concern to us as Americans. After serving as Kansas Secretary of Agriculture, Sam Brownback got elected to the House of Representatives and to U.S. Senator, next as Kansas's governor. Since he has always been a strong advocate for religious liberty, he was the perfect pick by President Trump to become ambassador-at-large for international religious freedom. And he and his wife, Mary, have five children, two of whom are adopted. Ambassador Brownback, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, always good to join you, Tony. Hope you guys are doing well in this Holy Week.
We are. We are looking forward to this weekend as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and rejoicing in the freedoms that we have in this country that many do not have. As we see increasingly, and of course, in your role as ambassador-at-large for religious freedom, you see this throughout the world. But in particular, China has become an extremely bad actor when it comes to religious freedom, and in particular, they've been cracking down on this religious minority, Uyghur Muslims. What's behind that?
It seems to be their just view of control and desire for complete control and fear of any faith community group that might be something that people could rally or organize around that could challenge them. I said in a speech in Hong Kong that China, it seems, is at war with faith, but it is a war they will not win. They're going at the Uyghurs. They're going at the house church members. They're going at Tibetan Buddhists. They're going at Falun Gong. It's really kind of seems to be almost any and all religious groups, and it seems to be around their concern for control.
The Uyghurs in particular, you know, they have reports are that there are at least 1 million, maybe more, in these re-education camps. Now they're tracking them in their movements all across the country with this facial recognition. The Times reports this is the first known incident of a government using facial recognition and this vast array of cameras. To basically racial profile.
They really have been amazing and dastardly about this, of what China has done. They've collected all these DNA samples of the Uyghurs, and they've got all this facial recognition system and artificial intelligence behind it and cameras installed everywhere. To the point of being able to track them. And to the point, too, Tony, here's the fear point for me, is in the future, in a place where they want to persecute a minority, and particularly a religious minority, they may not end up putting a lot of people in jail. What they may end up doing is just marginalizing you in society to where you can't move, you can't buy and sell, because they won't let you, because everything is run by the computerized systems and the artificial intelligence, and you've got a bad social credit score, and so you're not allowed to rent an apartment, go to school, or get a job.
Yeah, and this is not science fiction that you're talking about. This is actually happening right now in China with the social score, where your every action, your every move, your purchase, the books that you check out, all of this is tracked in a database. China is putting together this massive database and tracking system that, as you say, makes you a prisoner in your own country, whether you're behind bars or not.
It does. That's what has always been so concerning about this situation to me, is this is the future of oppression. This is what it looks like. It doesn't look like lots of people in jail. It looks like people marginalized. And then anybody that calls you on your cell phone can be tracked, and they can get the same social credit score that you get. Well, you may be somebody that wants to participate in a faith community, but your friend may not. And then they start to pressure you socially to get out of this stuff because you're hurting them. This is a very diabolical situation, and one that people should be deeply concerned about, because it's then a system can easily be replicated and sold broadly to authoritarian regimes or various places around the world.
Yeah, that is troubling when you see at how this can be exported and used by other repressive governments. Ambassador Brownback, this administration, you and I have spoken about this many times, this administration putting a high priority on religious freedom, the first administration to hold a ministerial on the advancement of religious freedom. That's coming up again this summer, the second one in July. What is the administration doing as it pertains to China? I mean, right now we're in trade negotiations with China. They're a huge economic power, but they're also vulnerable. And that's the one place that we can speak loudly.
It is the place where we can speak. And this administration is speaking out more than any other around the world about what's taking place in China and the war on faith, and particularly towards Xinjiang and the Muslims, but also the house church leaders, Wang Yi, the early reign church leader that's in jail that had previously had met with George W. Bush while he was president of the United States. This administration is pushing on it verbally, but also on a number of other fronts, pushing back against China. And I think it's starting to get their attention, and there's going to be continued pressure on China to not do these things. And certainly we've got to lean on them not to export the technology used in these places to basically isolate any sort of minority or religious minority community.
Yeah, I would think, Ambassador Brownback, that other countries will take note in terms of how we deal with China. There's been an intensifying of their persecution of religious minorities in the last year. I mean, we're seeing this ramped up. Even the quote-unquote state-recognized churches have been having difficulty. The house churches targeted Uyghur Muslims, increasing their numbers in these re-education camps. So I would think the other countries will take note as to how the United States deals with China in terms of what they feel like they can get away with when it comes to the persecution of religious minorities.
It's a good point, because unfortunately, you got so many people in the world live in religious restrictive environments, and people are going to watch, and they're going to watch what happens in this particular case. And so that's why we really have got to be, I think, strong and aggressive towards China, very clear in our viewpoint on this. Remember, China has signed on to these international documents guaranteeing religious freedom. It's in the Chinese constitution to guarantee religious freedom. It's just not something that's practiced. But you'd think, okay, you wrote it, you put it in your own constitution, stand by it. You ought to do it. But this is going to be a continued and strong focus by this administration to push back on China.
What should our listeners be doing? I mean, obviously, a lot of concern. We were actually talking last week. We had Alice Lin, the daughter of Pastor David Lin, who's been incarcerated in China for over 10 years. He's an American citizen, naturalized American citizen, went back, was imprisoned. What should people here in the United States, Christians, those, and just those concerned about religious freedom in general, what should they be doing right now?
You know, there's the Congress is on break right now, and maybe because I used to be a member, and so I favor this route. But I would hope people, when they do town hall meetings, when they're out and about seeing their congressman or their senator, they raise the issue of what's taking place in China. That then is it's a representative government, and it creates the further impetus to look at it and move forward. I would hope people would get more aware of this. The New York Times has done some excellent reporting on this. And to look at some of these articles and then raise it in their own churches and within their own institutional churches that they could raise this up. The United States is the country in the world that leads on religious freedom. And so if we push on it through both our public and our private organizations, the public organizations like members of Congress, the private groups like our churches and their affiliated organizations, this can create some strength and some push against what China's doing.
Before I let you go, Ambassador Brownback, I have to ask you this question. When we talk about what this administration is doing, clearly taking a prioritized view of religious freedom, what are some of the positive developments you see happening?
Andrew Brunson is out of jail and out of Turkey and walking the streets in the United States. We've seen Uzbekistan open up and get off the country of particular concern list. We've done a series now of these regional religious freedom summits in United Arab Emirates, Taiwan, Europe, and more coming forth that are really pushing this issue and targeting textbook material. I see a lot that's started. And plus, I even heard a story today about somebody in a rural community not being arrested by the police because they were fearful of religious freedom concerns being raised against them. That's a good sign.
It is. And a lot of that attributed to the leadership of this administration and your advocacy as Ambassador Large. So, Ambassador, thanks so much for joining us today.
Happy to do it. Happy
All
Easter.
Right. Same to you. Ambassador Sam Brownback, Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. You know, it's making a huge difference that this administration is prioritizing religious freedom. It's opened doors for me personally to sit down with leaders in Muslim countries who want to know what they can do more to protect religious freedom. It's a long way to go, but we're moving in the right direction. All right, when we come back, President Trump and his administration, one of the most pro-Israel administrations in years. What's next with them?
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. This morning, I had an op-ed that appeared in the Washington Times. It was co-authored along with Yossi Dagan, an Orthodox Jewish mayor of the Samaria Regional Council in Israel. It was recognizing President Trump's recent announcement that the United States would fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. The fact that that's a great development, the fact that the president recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It was an acknowledgement of the political reality that these decisions are strengthening the U.S. relationship and, as a result, providing greater stability and security in that region. What's next? Will the administration get drawn into, you know, what many administrations have done, this idea that a larger peace agreement can be negotiated between the Palestinians and the Israelis? That, what are the obstacles to that actually happening? Do they recognize it? Joining me now to talk about this is former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who represented the 6th District of Minnesota. She ran for President of the United States, and she served on the House Intelligence Committee as well. But above all, she raised 5 children and fostered 23 children as well. Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you. Great to be on with you today.
Well, let's talk about the track record this administration in a relatively short period of time has established in terms of being an ally of Israel. I mean, is there anything that you've seen that comes close?
No, it's unparalleled. The Trump administration is head and shoulders in its full-throated support of Israel above any other administration in modern times, certainly in the last 70 and 71 years since Israel became a nation. Not only has President Trump declared from the United States perspective that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which was a true game changer, he's been profoundly impactful at the United Nations, where, as you know, Tony, very well, the United Nations has come against Israel in resolution after resolution, but President Trump has stood strong. And now for President Trump to stand and recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, one of the most strategic pieces of land, and the piece of land that Iran, quite frankly, would love to have control over. This indicates a brilliant strategic move on the part of Donald Trump. And again, saying that the United States, not only by words, but also by actions, will stand with Israel.
Yeah, it's, you know, other administrations have talked and said good things, but this administration putting action to that, you know, from a standpoint of the impact that this has had on the president's support among evangelicals, I'm not sure they could get any higher. For those that understand the significance of Israel and our relationship with him, I'm not sure how he could improve on those numbers.
No, you're right. As a matter of fact, Tony, the State Department, under the president's direction, has also officially declared they will no longer refer to the biblical lands of Judea and Samaria as occupied territory. And that, again, is huge because words mean everything. And I think, again, for believers, we recognize that God made an eternal promise based upon his covenant. And his covenant said that he would have a particular people, the Jewish people, centered and living and dwelling in a certain land that he's laid out in the Bible for the specific purpose of blessing the nations. That will go on forever. And so what I have seen from Donald Trump is that he is agreeing with Scripture, with the promises that God has given to a people for a land and for the purpose of blessing the nations.
Now, Michelle, there's been rumblings for several weeks now that there, after the Israeli election, which was held last week, that there would be the rollout of another peace plan. You know, every administration has tried to do this, where they broker a peace deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis. But there's a few obstacles in the way of that being accomplished. Number one is that the Palestinians continue to refuse to acknowledge Israel's right to exist. How can you negotiate a peace agreement when one party won't even recognize the other has a right to exist?
Tony, you're right. And I think the one thing that we've seen from Donald Trump is that he's a realist. He's been a realist when it comes to the Iranian threat. He's been a realist with North Korea. He's a realist with Israel. And if you have, like you rightly stated, a terror state, because the Palestinian Authority has been acting as a terror state, continually pointing and firing rockets at Israelis, and also being behind paying terrorists, quite frankly, to kill innocent Israelis. When they're in a full-on offensive mood of terror, they're not interested in peace. As Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, has wisely stated, all the Palestinians have to do is put down their arms, and there'll be peace. And if the Israelis put down their arms, there'll be war. And that's a reality that Donald Trump understands and recognizes. And that's why I think it's so important for your audience to, again, pray for President Trump that if there is any Middle East peace plan that does come forward from the White House, that it would be one that would not in any way pressure the Jewish people to part with any land or part with anything that would be in contravention of what God has said in his covenant.
Yeah, I think to do so would not only be the wrong move for the president from a political security standpoint, it would not be good for Israel, but in terms of his support from evangelicals, I mean, I think, and those who care about Israel, that such a move would rapidly deflate that support as it pertains to Israel. So I think he stays the course. He does well in maintaining support, which will have ripple effects across the Middle East.
You're exactly right, Tony.
Michelle Bachmann, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
That's former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota. All right, when we come back, Ted Cruz taking on Yale Law School. You remember this Yale Law School basically adopting a policy to, in effect, discourage law students from interning at Christian law organizations. Ted Cruz launched an investigation. into their discriminatory practices. Yale's firing back. We'll hear from the senator next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand-up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as Solicitor General for the state of Texas and in private practice, our next guest authored more than 80 U.S. Supreme Court briefs and argued 43 oral arguments, including 9 before the United States Supreme Court. He also won an unprecedented series of landmark national victories that included his defense of U.S. sovereignty against the U.N., our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms, the constitutionality of the Ten Commandments monument at the Texas State Capitol, and the words "Under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance. In the Senate, Ted Cruz has led the fight to repeal Obamacare, to secure the border, and to confirm Justice Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. He also led the fight to defend life, marriage, and the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and our entire Bill of Rights. He and his wife Heidi have 2 daughters. And now he is launching an investigation into Yale Law School for their discriminatory actions against students that might intern at Christian organizations. And he joins me now. Ted, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, my friend, always good to be with you.
Well, this is disturbing when you see, and you see right behind this, I can see by what you've said in launching the investigation, that Yale's trying to say, oh, we're just making sure that no one discriminates against someone based upon sexual orientation. But the message here is quite clear that religious organizations are trying to, they're trying to dissuade students from interning at these religious legal organizations, which play a key role in developing lawyers to defend the First Amendment.
Tony, that's exactly right. It was just a few weeks ago that Yale Law School announced its new policy that it was going to discriminate against and exclude Christian organizations that believe in traditional marriage and believe in traditional sexual values. And the backstory here in terms of what happened is this is really focused on one organization in particular. And that is the Alliance Defending Freedom. The Alliance right. Defending Freedom, you and I both know them well. They're a public interest law firm that defends religious liberty across the country, and they do great work. I've worked with them many times. And in this instance, a lawyer from ADF was on the Yale campus, was speaking on the campus. And the LGBT group on campus that's called Outlaws, they got angry. And they demanded of the dean that the dean act against ADF. And they demanded a number of things. They went so far as demanding the dean to change the admission standards at Yale Law School so that they don't even admit anyone who believes in traditional marriage or traditional sexual values. That is truly extreme and a manifestation of the radical censorship and zealotry of the extreme left. Well, Yale didn't go so far as to change their admission standards, but they changed their financial aid policy. And they said, so Yale has a policy that they provide summer stipends for their students who go work in nonprofits, who don't go to a big law firm, but instead go work in nonprofits. They provide summer stipends, and they also assist with loan repayments when their students graduate if they go work for nonprofits. Yale changed their policy to say that's true for any nonprofit on earth, unless it happens to be a nonprofit that disagrees with their views supporting same-sex marriage and supporting redefining what sex and gender and identity means. And that it is a policy designed to say, if you go work for ADF, we are going to cut off your financial aid, you and only you, we're going to discriminate against Christians. And that's not right.
Well, and it certainly it drives them away from those institutions. And I think this isn't, I want people to understand how significant of an issue this is. Yale Law School, you know, these Ivy League schools, and a lot of us, you don't care a whole lot for them, quite frankly. However, this is where a large percentage of our judges that end up on the federal bench come from.
Yes.
And if we allow this radical intolerance toward people of faith on these institutions, what will the courts look like in a decade or two decades?
Well, that's exactly right, and it's also true that Yale, in this instance, I think, is the canary in the coal mine, that if Yale gets away with this, you're going to see a bunch of other law schools and universities across the country cutting off financial aid to discriminate against and punish Christians and people of faith, and it is that is profoundly dangerous. And so in response to this, the Constitution Subcommittee, the Senate Judiciary Committee, of which I'm the chairman, announced an investigation into Yale's discrimination against Christians and people of faith. And we're opening an investigation, and I intend to, number one, uncover all the facts behind Yale's decision to engage in discrimination, and number two, if need be, if we find that they have violated federal civil rights statutes, to refer the case to the Department of Justice for possible prosecution. And they need to change their policy and stop discriminating against Christians.
Well, you certainly got their attention. I've seen the Dean, Heather Gerken, speaking out. So I look forward to the outcome of your investigation. Senator, we're up against a break, and I know you've got to go, but I want to get you back on to talk about your school choice bill. As well that you're working on. So thanks so much, Senator Ted Cruz, for joining us this afternoon. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. It's going to be interesting to see the outcome of that investigation. I did get a chance to talk about a school choice bill, but we'll get him back on to discuss that. Coming up next, we're going to go to Texas. Jonathan Sines, president of Texas Values, joins us to talk about an initiative right now in the state legislature that would prohibit the government from discriminating against people of faith. He's here to tell us the latest on that measure and how you can help. Next, don't go away.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, the website, tonyperkins.com. Hey, let me just remind you, I mentioned at the top of the program, but the window is closing, and that is to join us on a trip to Alaska, cruise to Alaska. My wife and I and several members of the FRC team, General Jerry Boykin, Congresswoman, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who was just on the program a few moments ago, and former Ambassador Ken Blackwell. It'll be a great time. You'll have a little kind of behind-the-scenes discussion of many of the things happening in Washington, D.C., but a lot of time just to see how beautiful Alaska is and to enjoy the scenery. So to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and see how you can join us coming up July the 7th through the 14th. All right, Texas, you know, the Lone Star State leads in many different ways, but recently you may have seen this. It was in San Antonio. They banned Chick-fil-A from their airport based upon the company's religious beliefs and private donations made to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Now, Texas Values and Texas Values Action are once again calling on the legislature to act to protect religious freedom and to ensure all Texans are free to believe. And in the legislature right now is one of the stronger pieces of legislation moving its way through that would restrict government, not individuals, but from government from discriminating against people of faith. Joining us now to talk about this is our good friend Jonathan Sines, president of Texas Values. Jonathan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me.
Well, give us an update on the legislation making its way through the Texas legislature.
Well, tomorrow, April 17th, Wednesday, is what we're calling Save Chick-fil-A Day. People can go to SaveChickfilA.com to find out more information. And it's not just about whether or not people have an appetite for chicken sandwiches, about whether or not they have an appetite for religious freedom, because you and I know that's what this issue is about. So the city of San Antonio, as you outlined it, has targeted Chick-fil-A because of their religious beliefs. It just so happens On the same day, Wednesday, the Texas House State Affairs Committee is taking up two pieces of legislation that protect religious liberty and would relate to this issue and give protection for Christian business owners and individuals if they face government punishment like what the city of San Antonio has done already. That's the Free to Believe Act, House Bill 1035 by Bill Zedler, and the First Amendment Defense Act, House Bill 3172 by Matt Krause, modeled after what we've seen at the federal level. The House State Affairs Committee hearing is meeting tomorrow, and they're going to take up their business sometime in the middle of the day. These things could go on for quite a while. We need people to come and testify or to at least sign their name up to be on the official record of supporting this. There's also some bad legislation going to be in the same hearing. There's a pro-life bill. My point is there's a whole lot of reasons for people to come to the Capitol tomorrow and stand with us during this hearing and make a difference for religious freedom. And if you can't, you can at least go to your local Chick-fil-A and then post on social media, hashtag Safe Chick-fil-A, to stand up not only for this particular business, but for religious freedom for all.
So in this particular piece of legislation, the Free to Believe Act and the First Amendment Defense Act, has this gone through the Senate?
No, it hasn't. As a matter of fact, this is the first hearing for these bills on either side of for either chamber. And so, look, we're about 5 weeks or so left in the legislative session, maybe six, depending on how you count it. So there's not a lot of time left. But there is an appetite for religious freedom in the Texas legislature this session. And so I think if we have a strong showing of support on Wednesday, April 17th, this could be the key to getting these bills moving quickly and getting them to the governor's desk.
So people need to, if they can, they need to come to the state capitol. But obviously, Texas, could be a long drive for some folks there in Texas. What's the best way for them to reach out?
Well, look, I want them to stand with our friends like Senator Ted Cruz, Congressman Chip Roy, Alan West, of course, your fine organization, FRC and AFA, that are asking people to be participating in Save Chick-fil-A Day, April 17th, tomorrow. But they can go to the website, savechickfilA.com, and get action items to wherever they are and to engage in social media and send a direct message to elected officials showing their support for this legislation. Look, those emails, all those messages, they do get counted. I've been in legislative offices before, and so many of them are taking account. So if you can't make it to the Capitol, you can make a difference by contacting your House or Senate member in support of House Bill 1035 and House Bill 3172.
All right. Well, they're both very pieces of legislation. Dissected, looked at them. Texas could, I think the last time we saw a strong piece of pro-religious liberty legislation was coming out of Mississippi. This will be a really strong piece. So we're certainly going to encourage people to if they can, show up, stand with you and the lawmakers there. If not, certainly contact them and encourage them to support religious freedom in the Lone Star State. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us. As always, do a great job.
God bless you, Tony. Thank you. We couldn't do some of the work that we do without the support we have from our good friends at Family Research Council.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And so, folks, if you live in Texas, and I know we've got a lot of listeners in Texas, be sure and contact your state official, your state representative, state senator, and encourage them to support the Free to Believe Act and the First Amendment Defense Act. You can find out more by going to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And this is a good piece of legislation, and I think it's very important that we take these stands for religious freedom. And we were just talking with Senator Cruz about what's happening. And by the way, let me do this before I go on any further. Let me just open up the phone lines for what we were discussing today. We'll just kind of we had a smorgasbord of things that we discussed today. We were talking about the Uyghur Muslims in China and how China is cracking down on religious freedom using this facial recognition system, which is an elaborate system tracking almost every move that people make. We were discussing the relationships between the United States and Israel and any pending effort to negotiate peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Of course, Yale Law School, and now we're talking about Texas. The number, 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234. FRC Radio, 866-372-7234, if you would like to weigh in and join the conversation this afternoon. So back to this issue of religious freedom and how these issues creep up. And if they are left unaddressed, how they become huge problems. And as Senator Cruz was pointing out, if we don't address this at Yale Law School and what they were doing, it's the canary in the coal mine. It's just a precursor to what other universities, colleges may attempt to do. And so you have to, when it surfaces, we've got to address it. When we see the intolerance of the city council there in San Antonio saying, we're not going to allow Chick-fil-A to do business in here because it's owned by Christians, well, we can't sit back. You know, we can't sit back. We have to respectfully, civilly, but unapologetically speak out. I mean, we have a right as Americans. These are constitutional rights. Now, they're God-given, but they're supposed to be protected by government, not violated by government. So I think anytime these things surface, it's, you know, we can't wait for somebody else to do something. We've got to do it. It's our responsibility that we take those actions, all right? So let me encourage you. If you live in Texas, weigh in on this. Anytime you see these issues come up, weigh in on them. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Amy in Austin, Texas. Amy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I was just wondering, because I listen to your programs off and on when I'm driving and stuff, but I haven't really heard much on this channel or other religious channels about the religious vaccine exemptions that's been going on in, like, New York and other states throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, it's a good question, Amy. It's not actually a topic that I've spoken about. It's a topic I've written about in times past. There's some concern over some of the vaccines that are currently in place because they use fetal tissue in the creation of these vaccines. And so that's what drives a lot of the religious exemptions. It's a little more of a complex issue from a biblical standpoint, in terms of what rights does the government have as a Christian, as we look at government, what authority does it have? It actually does have the authority for health purposes to, you know, quarantine, to ensure that we don't have outbreaks of disease. And so this becomes increasingly difficult to navigate when we have either the government or manufacturers using unethical means, which I would argue using human tissue, fetal tissue, it raises ethical issues. But at the same time, government does have a responsibility to ensure public safety. So I can't speak exactly to New York. I haven't dug into that, so I can only address it from more of a 30,000-foot perspective, Amy, but I appreciate you listening and hope you listen more often, and feel free to call in anytime. Let's jump over to Mississippi and talk to Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Yourself?
I am doing well. I just wanted to get your opinion and thoughts on the, you know, we talk about, and past presidents have all tried to broker peace between Israel and the Palestinians. But the United States has long had a tradition that we don't negotiate with terrorists. And the reality is the Palestinians are terrorists. They're a terrorist organization. They're run by a terrorist organization. So why would we continue to try to broker a peace that, you know, to all reasonable thinking people, it's in my opinion, is a peace that can never be brokered. As you mentioned earlier, the Palestinians won't even acknowledge and recognize Israel's right to exist as a state. So why do we keep trying to accomplish something that just seems like an exercise in futility?
Jimmy, that is an excellent question, and one that I've asked myself. Because now, let me say this. I want to go back and just make sure. And I know you weren't saying this, but I want to make very clear for all those leftists that are in their pajamas in their basements listening to the program, getting ready to blog on it, that we're not saying all Palestinians are terrorists. I've met, worked with, been in the homes of some Palestinians as I've been in Israel and in that region. But their leadership is, and it has a history of being aligned with terrorists. And they're receiving money to accomplish and pursue terrorist activities. In fact, the screensaver on my phone is a rocket that was coming in from Gaza that was intercepted by the Iron Dome as I was diving into a bunker. So, yes, you're correct on that. And I think it's kind of that a siren song that has drawn so many administrations onto the rocks. No one has successfully done it. There have been some temporary, appeasements. I think the best thing that we can do in the United States, strengthen our relationship with Israel so that others fear them, and we have a managed peace, which is what I think this administration is pursuing. I hope and pray and have been advocating that they not try to follow the course of previous administrations and hope to get a different outcome, because they will not. So, Jimmy, I think you're absolutely right, and I appreciate you listening and calling in. All right, I'm going to try to take one more call before we run out of time. Let's go to Lenny in Houston, Texas. Lenny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate the work you're doing. I just wanted to piggyback on the what the other gal, unfortunately, y'all answered the phone, so I didn't get to hear the rest on the vaccine thing. I've been following it really closely. I just want to point out that, naturally, there's when there's trillions of dollars involved, then as the word says, love of money is the root of all evil. So they've suppressed a lot of the research proven research that shows, for example, the aluminum in vaccines passing through the blood-brain barrier, and mm-hmm. that's why autism is taken, and all kinds of
Lenny, I hate to cut you off, but we are out of time. But what this tells me, Lenny, is that this is actually a topic that we may explore further. It's something I've worked on in the past. Not something we've talked about recently on radio, but given the interest in it just today from a couple of our callers, it's one we'll dive into. So, Lenny, thanks so much for calling. Sorry I had to cut you off. But we're out of time, folks, and I want to thank you for joining us. I want to encourage you to check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Lots of resources there for you. And I do hope that you are preparing for this Resurrection Weekend. This is Passion Week. It's a time we reflect on the great sacrifice that was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the hope that comes beyond the cross. We're going to talk about that more this week. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.